The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a recurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all the great things that happen here each day. Welcome to Up on Taconic. I'm your host, Dalton, and today I have my co-host, Aiden, Avery, and Miss Clegg.
Hello, hello.
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 And today we're going to be talking about the D&D club here at Taconic. So
yeah.
Would you guys like to go first?
So I initiated this. I'm in the D&D club currently. I know, Dalton, you were in last year, I believe, when you were at PHS.
Yes.
I don't know about you, Avery. I think
I was in a D&D club at Reed Middle School, and I've also had many experience with a lot of tabletop RPGs through my siblings.
Do you plan on coming back for this D&D club?
Yes, I would enjoy to do that if I can find some time to get home with a ride or fit it into my schedule. That'd be great.
I mean, I give Finn a ride home every time we do D&D, so I could probably find some space for you guys as well.
All right, that sounds nice.
One of us is going to have to sit in the trunk.
Yeah. One of you, like, riding in the truck bed, just like, woo! I wanted to ask, first off, how long have you been playing D&D, or like, what got you in?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, honestly, what got me into it was Stranger Things.
Fair enough.
Me and my family were watching. I knew about Dungeons & Dragons. I had played a little bit in college, but when I started watching Stranger Things with my family, they were seeing the game and thinking, that kind of seems cool. And I said, hey, I actually have some experience with that. Do you want me to run a game, test this out? And we've basically been playing ever since. So it's been many, many years. Me and my family have several games that have been going for years.
Yeah.
We just started a new one because there's no such thing as too much D&D in our house. So.
Never. Never at all.
No.
I think that's a really good point, because I think a lot of people are getting into D&D because of new like shows or series like Stranger Things. Like, I don't really know any other shows that have like extensively portrayed D&D, but I know Stranger Things is like a big one.
Yeah, Stranger Things, Big Bang Theory is another.
Yeah, but I think those shows put it in a lot of limelight, and I think it can get a lot of new people to try it out.
Absolutely.
Especially because of like the appeal of combat, the appeal of like playing a character, the appeal of fighting monsters, seeing like what they look like. Like, that's like the Demogorgon comes straight from D&D.
Exactly.
And it became this horrifying monster. Mm-hmm. So the fact that like D&D alone could be turned into a fantasy or even a horror movie just because of how like crazy freaky some of these monsters look, especially things like the Demogorgon, even things like Beholders. Some of these monsters look absolutely insane.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can even take it further. The latest campaign that we started is The Dungeons of Drakenheim, which was created by the Dungeon Dudes from YouTube. And it's basically like an eldritch horror style take on
that
D&D,
sounds
very
awesome.
Lovecraftian. So it really delves deep into the really kind of horror aspect of it.
Lovecraftian D&D campaign. It's like, hey, so for the BBEG, it's Cthulhu.
Practically, yeah.
He just snaps and your entire party dies.
When do we get to fight Azathoth?
Yes. Yeah. I love the appeal of, like, because D&D is so expansive. You can make a campaign about almost anything. Like, if I ever do make one, the first one I want to try is SCP. Because that has so many different directions you can go in.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, videos of, like, people, like, acting out scenes from an SCP-related D&D campaign, and it looks, like, so much fun. Because there's so many ways you can tell stories. Like, you can tell dozens of different stories with one singular SCP. Like, imagine a boss fight against 682 where it's just this lizard that you can't do anything to. Like you go to fight it, and it's just no. It just says no to literally everything you do. It's like, I cast Fireball. No.
That's how you handle the murder hobo players.
Yeah. That's how you handle the murder hobo. It's like, I'm going to fight this demon lizard. It's like, no.
You can murder
just
hobo.
Just slaps it across the room. Just, like, slaps the person across the room and just, like, slams him into a wall.
Owie.
Yeah. It's like, that'll teach you for trying to run at a giant lizard that can survive sulfuric acid.
Because I have a contract with a death god. Guys, I'm so cool. Look at me.
What are you, Moon Knight?
Well, that would actually kind of be... Now I'm thinking that would actually kind of be a cool character.
Now I'm giving you ideas.
Yeah. That would actually kind of be a cool character.
The difference is Moon Knight doesn't have any superpowers, so it wouldn't be that bad.
Well, so you'd just be a fighter.
Yeah, exactly.
He would literally just be like a fighter slash ranger, maybe.
Probably.
Like a multi-classed fighter ranger. I think that'd be like pretty much all he would do. It's like just psychotic dude that fights people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think D&D is a really good way to connect with new people as well.
Agree.
I think that's a big selling point of D&D, because if you're a nerd, you're going to love D&D, and if you're a nerd, you're going to find other nerds who also love D&D, and then you just have like this big nerdy circle of people who like D&D.
Yeah. I actually just saw something recently that playing Dungeons & Dragons is good for your mental health, because you're engaging with your friends, you're using your imagination, and you can kind of lose yourself in your character and forget the world's troubles.
Yeah, D&D is a very like creative liberty-based game, especially with some of these campaigns. Like Witchlight. The Witchlight Carnival, like, it's so many twisting points and so many different ways you can go.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we're...
like, we're in a different dimension at this point.
Exactly. We're in the Feywild. We've been moving amongst the Feywild. We're 4 chapters in. There's still things that you guys haven't explored.
We're, like, fighting evil bunny women.
That sounds like an average... what is the game? Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. That's what it sounds like.
I don't know that, but judging by what you're referencing it to, it probably sounds about right.
D&D always has, like, the craziest things happening.
Yeah. That's why I said D&D level buffoonery on the Thunder Report.
Yeah. Oh,
like, it's just, like, D&D is just, like that's why they tell you don't question D&D, because D&D is just D&D. There's no logic behind it. There's no merit behind anyone's actions. It's just you play D&D and you forget how everything works. You forget the laws of physics.
One of my
they don't apply to D&D.
I don't remember what it was called because it's been so long since I played D&D, but my friend had a thing where he could just summon a weapon and pretty much our entire party.
Probably create
was
object.
Dead. Yeah, I think.
Or a spiritual weapon.
But like our entire party was dead or about to die, and my friend just looks at the DM and he's like, "Can I just create a nuke and just erase the entire world?" And the DM's just like, "Sure, why not?" And that's how we ended the campaign.
The rule
everyone
of cool.
died.
The rule of cool.
We technically won because our like
you won
goal
and
was
lost.
To kill a god. And I'm pretty sure that god died because the entire universe also died.
How powerful was that nuke?
Uh-huh.
did it play like the Final Fantasy VII victory song after you got done with it?
That sounded like the end of a Final Destination movie. You just bomb the universe and just end everything. You just end all of existence.
Certainly a way to end a campaign.
I feel like that's how a Final Destination movie ends.
Can't beat a god, just... erase
destroy everything.
Erase all of it reality.
Yeah. Just erase this dimension and the next one after it. Yeah. So, D&D's been around for a long... I think it was invented in the 70s, I want to say. I think like 70s, maybe 80s.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact year, but around
that. Yeah, I think I remember it was around that time. But so it's been around for a long time, and it's mostly always stayed tabletop. But I want to ask you what you think about more digital versions of the game. Or like...
Baldur's Gate 3!
I was about to say, like Baldur's Gate 3, those kind of games where they take the essence of D&D and turn it into like a very marketable console PC game. Like, what do you think about those?
I think it's a really cool way to kind of be able to single player D&D, because like the joke with all
it's hard
D&D
to find
campaigns,
people.
It's hard to find people, it's hard to find time, you know, the time that works for half of your group doesn't work for the other half and vice versa. So having that digital option is really cool. And especially like Baldur's Gate, you can play by yourself, you can enjoy that, you can have the companions, you can also do multiplayer and bring in some friends. It's a really cool way to explore class ideas. That's kind of what I've been using it for, is just, all right, I want to play a bard, I want to play College of Glamour, but I don't really have a group to play that with, so let me test it out here in Baldur's Gate, see what I'm capable of.
See what this class can do, and then later on, when you're in a D&D session, you can be like, oh wait, like, I know how to use this person, I know, now I know some of the skills that these classes have, or I know how to properly multi-class, and what classes work together, what classes don't.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like some of the mechanics, like it'll prompt you to use your reaction so that later when you're playing, you remember, oh, right, I've got that ability as a reaction, which can be really, really helpful. And exploring multi-classing options, seeing how things synergize with each other so that then you know what you want to multi-class with later. Absolutely cool.
Yeah. I think just the idea of multi-classing, like going back to how expansive D&D is, there's so many different ways you can play the game. There are so many ways, because there's what, 13 classes, I think?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of the number, but I think around there.
I think
and
it's
then
like
if
around
you start
13.
Bringing in some of the homebrew,
yeah,
that has been
like created. That's just base D&D, like with 2025 rules, and then there's all these different, like almost like video game DLCs, but it's just more rules that you can add to add even more. Like Finn, yep. He's just a metal being with like the power, like he literally has the power of Cthulhu on his side.
Yeah,
I'm not joking. He can call upon Cthulhu to just summon things for him.
Yep.
Well,
he's just an Eldritch abomination.
I was going to ask a question, but I think considering Finn gets up a Cthulhu, it's probably going to be right. I was just going to be like, well, so for next year, if I want to join, can I play a vampire? I want to see if I can play a vampire.
You absolutely can.
Probably.
I have very little restrictions when it comes to character creation because I think that half of the fun is coming up with a cool idea and rolling with that. You know, Ian's auto gnome, mechanized gnome,
oh God.
Three steps away from a warforge, basically, you know.
Yeah.
Taking existing character ideas and twisting them into something fun, like the Akainu, basically, character.
Yeah, Ian's character is just a 3-foot-tall kaiju.
Yeah.
It's literally like imagine a gnome made of metal that could vaporize you and your entire bloodline in, like, 4 seconds.
Yep.
That's crazy.
With a metal mustache.
Yep.
With a metal mustache.
No, the metal mustache is Finn's, unless he also has one.
I think he also took one.
Yeah.
Once it was clear you could get a metal mustache, I think everybody
just liked. Everybody was like, yes, I like that.
I like mustache.
That. Yeah. I mean, I think D&D is kind of fun because of all like the thievery you can do. I mean, literally like what, two, like last session
thievery,
or two sessions ago, I just straight up stole a halberd from a skeleton guard.
Yep.
Yeah, they were all, like, there were four of them holding halberds and I just like, can I just like take one?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, okay. Yoink.
Yep.
Because, I mean, like, I mean, going back to, like, fantasy, like, or, like, fantasy medieval weapons, I love halberds. Halberds are some of my favorite, like, medieval weapons because of how, like, versatile they are.
Well, yeah.
Because think about it.
You get two with a weapon triangle. You get a lance and an axe, right?
Yeah, but also, some of them have, like, blunt ends. Like, there are some that have almost, like, a war pick style where it'll be, like, a lance, it'll be an axe head, and then it'll be, like, a war pick hammer. Or like a Warhammer on the other side.
Men's so 3-in-1 weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah. Dove's 3-in-1 halberd. Yeah. But that is such a versatile weapon. Like you can use that against so many different people. Cause like if one's immune to slashing but isn't immune to piercing, or they're weak to piercing, oh my God, now I can use this as a spear. And I can use the axe head to like parry blows. Or if they're weak to bludgeoning, okay, now I can just flip it over and use it as a giant sledgehammer. There's so many different weapons and so many different ways to use them.
Yeah.
It's like the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Like, and when that comes to characters, whether that comes to weapons, whether that comes to if you're a magic user, what spells you use, how you use them, there's so many different ways to play, and it makes it such a unique game because there's just no way. We're like, we are never going to find every single possibility to make a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
we're never going to find that because of all the classes, yeah. How you can multi-class, what
exactly.
spells you have,
yeah.
what weapons you have. What proficiencies you have. There's so many different things and different play styles for everybody. Like, there's never going to be someone who likes D&D and can't find something they like.
Absolutely.
There's always something there for them.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. My friend in the new game that I started was very, very nervous. This is her first D&D game, but she loves, like, the witchy vibe. We love going to Salem.
Yeah.
So I was like, how about you do a wizard and you kind of play like a witch? And she's like, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And now she's super into it. So
Yeah. I remembered ninth grade when I first joined it. I was like, I have no idea how to play D&D. I played maybe 2 sessions with my father and that was it. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'll go barbarian. That's kind of the safest option. It's just, it's pretty simple. Like you just swing at stuff until it dies. That's just it.
Monkey brain.
Yeah, literally. Literally just like the barbarian is just the brainless.
Yep. I pick things up. I put them down.
Yeah. Or I pick people up and slam them down into the concrete at 40 miles an hour.
Yep. Also true.
They work out great when you have a diplomatic friend who knows what they're doing with all of their stat checks.
Is Alex like an artificer, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have the one diplomatic one, and then I'm like, can I like body slam this goblin? Can I German suplex this goblin into the concrete?
So you have two options here. Either you give me everything in the contents of your pantaloons.
Or like break your neck.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Or I unleash the barbarian on you. I open the cell door and this barbarian is gonna like tackle you and like rip you apart.
Yeah.
I think the same thing with, and I love how like that can go vice versa as well.
Yeah.
It's like either calm your barbarian down or I'm summoning this beholder to rip him in half.
Yeah.
It's like, calm him down. Or it'll be like, this sorcerer is like arming a spell, and then the BBG is like, put that down. It just like slaps the spell out of his hand.
No.
Like makes it hit a wall. It's like, no, I don't want you to do that. We're gonna fist fight now. Straight hands.
We're done with magic.
Yeah. No more magic. We're not going diplomatic here. We're just
stuff.
Fighting.
It's tough. No more magic.
Yeah. Just like a barbarian and a wizard fist fighting in the parking lot of a Denny's.
What is it with you in the Denny's parking lot?
I'm the Denny's parking lot guy. I'm the Denny's parking lot guy, and now he's taking it from me.
Like, yeah. All you want to do is fist fight me in a Denny's parking lot. This is like the 14th time you said it this week.
Because it's funny,
though. It's so funny.
It is funny. I can't deny it.
It's unexpected.
You ever been to a Denny's? Like,
nope. I know.
That's mildly off topic. I went to a Denny's. Every time I go to Six Flags with my brothers in the summer, we go to a Denny's, and it's always so good. And like the server there is always so good. It's so random. Yeah. I don't know why the Denny's just hits different at like 12 o'clock at night after going to Six Flags.
It hits different after like flying around and like getting vertigo for 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I love the sex sandwich.
Yeah. It's like you get vertigo for 4 hours, like, pancakes.
Pancakes. You vomit up everything you've eaten that morning, and then you
and
go
then you
get
go out
and
eat more.
And you go get more of it.
The IHOP incident.
The IHOP
incident. It's literally just post Six Flags, just like eat like 46 pancakes. Because you've been drained of everything.
You throw everything up. You go to IHOP. You eat pancakes. You go back to Six Flags. Pancakes.
Rinse and
everywhere.
Repeat. It's just Six Flags, IHOP. Six Flags, IHOP. Rinse and repeat for like 3 days.
You don't go home. You either sleep at Six Flags or IHOP.
Yeah, you'd like sleep in like the booth of an IHOP.
Sir, you need to get off the Batman. This ride is about to be operational. Yeah. It's 5 more minutes.
Shoe.
Yeah. Just 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes and then I'll leave, I swear.
All right. Back on topic of D&D,
back to the other kind of buffoonery.
I'm actually kind of curious.
The other genre.
What are some of your guys' like favorite? So you mentioned like halberd. Is there any like unique weapons you've used, or any like other personal favorite weapons that any of you guys have seen?
There's one that's kind of funny. On my barbarian, I have two dual like mini battle axes, not battle axes, but just two dual axes. And our artificer casted returning on them on one of them. So now I have an axe that's just a boomerang.
That's awesome.
It's just like
Crocky, mate.
Yeah, loyalty 3 trident, basically. Loyalty 3 battle axe.
I think I might win this one. I had in my last campaign with a character I didn't get to use yet because I left the school and therefore the after school group before I could use it. I had a great axe that was a guitar.
That sounds awesome.
So you're just Adam.
Yes. Literally. That was my weapon. I based it off of that.
Fair enough.
And I wasn't even like a barbarian. I'm playing a half elf. A half elf bard.
Now I'm just imagining a bard. Guitar. Yeah, now I'm just imagining a bard with a comically large guitar that's also a battle axe.
I'm stealing that,
except I want it to be like Marceline themed. Go figure. I like vampires. I like Marceline.
You raise it up in the sky. You like saw someone in half and then just play a sick riff on their corpse.
I'm going to play the Weezer riff after killing a guy.
That would be great.
I need to join D&D just so I can do that.
You murder the big bad evil guy of like the final campaign. You just play the Weezer riff on them.
You want to just start a band? It's just two people with axe guitars. So
like, you're just Pantera at that point.
Yeah.
We need someone to use, like, human skulls as drums. We need a drummer.
You could probably get a wizard for that.
Yeah.
Ms. Clegg, I'm curious. Have you ever stat a weapon like that that's, like, really stupid or funny?
I've never created a weapon. I've seen lots of ridiculous ones, and anytime one of my players is like, oh, I found this homebrew thing that's really cool, usually I let it fly. I'm like, if somebody else already created the stats, why not? Like, just go with it.
Yeah. I want at some point, like, either on my barbarian, like, probably on my barbarian, just, like, find a war pick. Because that's easily my favorite medieval weapon of all time. I love the war pick because it's again, like D&D, the game, it's so versatile. Because there's so many different things you can do. It's bludgeoning, it's piercing, it's slashing, and it's fast, too, which is the scariest part. Yep. It's like a barbarian. The war pick is the barbarian. It can beat you to death. It can slash you. It can stab you. And it's also as fast as a freight train.
Your character just like picks it up and just like sheds a single tear and says,
yeah.
You just like me.
You just like me for real. It's like looking in a mirror. It's like he sees his reflection in like the steel.
Yeah.
I love medieval weapons. They're like, I love my favorite category of weapons.
I either want to get that on my barbarian or a comically large claymore.
What are you playing, Eurylochus?
I'm just gonna. I'm just.
I want to get like a Montante, just like 6 foot tall sword, just.
Yeah. I can't speak Latin, but I'm trying to do this the one-winged angel.
Yeah.
Because I'm realizing I'm going to join D&D next year. They're just going to be like, so I'm just going to describe what I'm playing. Someone's going to be like, are you just playing Hugo Vlad from Zelda? So I'll be like,
no. Wink, like, nudge.
I have a scythe briefcase. I'm a phantom thief. I'm a vampire. No, I'm not. I'm not Hugo Vlad. No,
I'm not
no
Hugo
way.
Vlad. Wink, no, wink, no nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Wink, nudge, nudge. They're like... They're like, you know of an old nemesis you had. He's a wolf man. And I'm just like, nope.
Every
I'm
time you see a werewolf, you have like Vietnam flashbacks.
It's like Von Lycon.
It's like, I need my silver bullets. Dear God.
I love it when people take like characters from like advanced shows or just.
Yeah, to like take characters like from any sort of media and just put them in D&D.
Yeah, like I've seen. There's this one guy I watch on, like,
I know exactly who you're talking about. I already know exactly who you're talking about.
He makes these videos where he, like, takes characters from shows and stuff.
Explains them really badly, but in terms of D&D.
Yes.
I love that guy. He's like, are you playing Squidward?
Yes. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, maybe.
Are you guys playing Tom and Jerry? Maybe.
No.
I love the one where he's playing Megamind. Isn't that one?
Yeah, there is one where he's Megamind.
Oh, that one was so funny. Yeah. I like how we just have the same For You page. No,
yeah.
We have all the same feeds.
We all share the same brain cell.
Yeah, that's
all
fair
of our
enough.
Feeds are exactly the same. We all know the exact same jokes. We know the exact same creators.
We know the Archer
everything.
Guy. Archer guy.
Yeah. I love him. Yeah. I think spell wise, like D&D just gets insane once you
command my goat. Command my goat.
Like the second you reach spell territory, D&D becomes a fever dream.
Vicious mockery.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say. It's literally just insulting mockery. People. And it hurts them.
Yep.
Physically.
It's like, haha, you're short.
Dead. If you were playing Deadpool, that's his entire gameplay.
Oh my God. That would be awesome.
Your mother doesn't love you.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be it. Like, did you leave? Or it'd be like vicious confusion. Like, did you leave your oven on at home? It's like, wait.
Is your refrigerator running?
Wait.
Well, you better go catch it.
Just stabs me to the heart with a katana.
Hey, look over there. Oh, it's a...
Yeah, just no, that.
It's literally just, you can do the Astiff movie bit. Oh, it says Gullball on the ceiling. Ah, you stole my lungs.
Yeah. POV, barbarians. Or fighters, or monks, or paladins, depending on their faith.
Murder hobos.
Yeah, or those.
They're like their own subclass.
And then you reach, like, sorcerers, wizards. What is Ian? The other one. The arsonist one.
Yeah,
I don't know what he is.
I believe he's playing a sorcerer.
Yeah, like like sorcerers, wizards, sometimes like artificers. Like this says gullible in the ceiling. Oh God, I'm on fire.
Oh, it does. Did it get hot in here?
Did it get hot in here? Oh, I'm on fire.
I think it did. We're at the podcast studio.
What?
I think it did. We're at the podcast studio.
Yeah,
this thing's like 100 degrees at all times. It just says like 60 though.
Someone cast fireball in this podcast studio.
I don't care how big the room is.
There's an invisible fire in this building at all times, or in this room at all times.
It's just outlining.
Just blazing hot. Yeah. It outlines all the different soundproof panels. Like, they're immune to the fire. We are not. The
behind each one of those panels, there's a tiny fire.
Yeah, there's like an oven behind each one.
Thermostat. Stovetop. To gaslight us.
Yeah, the thermostat's there to gaslight us.
Yeah. Instead of being like, it's 68 degrees, it's like 94.
I'm the weather boy. It's going to get an all-time high of 81 today.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited for that?
No, I'm not. I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah, I'm not.
Look at me. I'm already melting.
I'm wearing all black. I'm screwed.
We're all, like, all three of us are wearing denim. We are going to, we're going to go outside at like 3 p.m. and just melt.
And then also,
we're gonna turn into ice
third
cream.
Floor, all the heat rising.
Oh,
that's gonna suck.
You guys are gonna have trouble with that later.
Yep.
Give me like water breaks every 30 seconds.
I've got a fan. Oh my God. I need a fan in my room.
You don't have a fan in your room?
I don't have a fan in my room right now. Okay, so fun fact, it's mildly off topic. I never put my like window, you know, like the screen thing on your windows? Mine doesn't go up at my house, so you have to take the full thing out if you want it out. So I leave it out on one of my windows all year because I never use that window because we put our air conditioning in there. So it just sits behind my dresser.
I have an aircon all
year
round.
The entire year, there's just a window screen back there.
Yeah, I have my aircon in my room like at all times all through the year because every time during winter, my family cranks up the degree in my house to like 85 degrees and I melt in my room because heat rises and I live on the second floor.
Yeah.
Because our home, our house only has two floors, and I live on the top, and the attic is in my room. The attic is in my room. It is like right above my dresser right now, as we speak.
Oof.
And it's just like, why are you making it 85 degrees? It's too hot. And they wonder why I have my air con on. It's because it's like I will turn into ice cream.
Child, if you... when you have your air conditioner on, it's not that hot. It's 85!
Yeah, it's like, why? Okay. Speaking of fire, back to D&D. I think, honestly, my favorite spell right now, like, as a sorcerer, I like Firebolt because I can just be like, oh, you just hit me? Okay, Firebolt between the eyes. I did that in another campaign where I first created the character. I literally did that to, I think, an orc. I just shot a firebolt between his eyes.
Burn his eyebrows off.
Yeah. I just put, like, a hole in his head. He was like,
I think you took a little more than that.
Yeah, eyebrows. I took a little bit off the top and the middle.
messed it up. We're going to have to go bald.
We're going to have to go bald. Yeah, but my absolute favorite spell right now is called Hellish Rebuke. And it's in Draconic Sorcery, I believe. I can literally, if somebody hits me, I can just point at them and they burst into a ball of flames. I'm not joking. I am not joking. So if somebody hits me, I can point at them and they just burst into a ball of flames. It is literally like the Antichrist walking into a church. They just burst into a ball of flames. They just spontaneously combust.
It's the ultimate don't touch me or else.
Yeah, it's the Uno reverse card. It's the Uno reverse card of D&D.
Oh, you did one damage? Fire!
Yeah.
It's so...
Oh, my God. You, like, you poked me with a dagger.
Cracks knuckles. My turn.
Yeah. My turn.
You forgot I had a reaction.
Yeah.
Who is Steve Jobs?
Oh, God. That's a random pull of a meme.
Yeah.
Who is Steve Jobs? Hellish Rebuke. That's the only thing I'm going to be thinking about now anytime I see that meme. I'm just going to immediately have in the back of my mind just Hellish Rebuke. That is the power. What is that guy's name again? I always forget it.
Who?
The blue guy that does that. That does it, just vaporizes him.
I don't know.
I forget his name. I think it starts with an M.
No clue.
Megamind.
No, so not Megamind. Mind
starts with M.
They're also blue and they both have big foreheads.
Mega
That's
Man?
Not Megamind.
I don't know.
That's not Mega Man either. Despite the fact all three of them are blue.
You said blue starts with M. I was like, Mega Man.
I forget his name. I don't know. I can't remember it. But, okay, so what are your favorite spells? Or, like, favorite, like, weapons to use or spells to use in D&D?
I mean, it depends on what character I'm playing. And then I also really enjoy just whatever crazy nonsense my players come up with.
Yeah, it's pretty much 95% of the fun in D&D is just straight nonsense.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. One of my friends plays a Warforged, and we've got an artificer in the party, and he requested that the artificer basically install a firearm in his arm so that we can make the
RoboCop
joke about him being...
So they're
exactly,
RoboCop.
Exactly, exactly. So that's...
You're
that's
coming with me.
A hilarious little addition. I play a bard in one campaign, and I really do love Vicious Mockery. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So she has a little animal companion that can also cast Vicious Mockery. So
oh,
I
God.
Just have the little red panda yell insults at whatever enemy I've got her attacking at the time.
They don't understand, but they
you're
feel
like playing.
Offended.
You're like playing a bard, and you're like, let me play you a little ditty. Like you play like one riff. The barbarian gets like 3 feet taller,
yep.
And they're
wait. You're playing Suction Cup Man. You're playing Suction Cup Man.
Essentially. So, like, every, like, the barbarian and his weapon get 3 feet taller. It's just like, oh, boy, time to hit them like a bus.
Wall of Fire is a great kind of, like, shut down spell in one campaign.
Every
I'm
step the barbarian takes just causes an earthquake.
In one campaign I'm playing in, we got plane shifted. We're still not sure what plane we're on, but we're being attacked by those gross toad creatures, the Slod. And there's, like, waves of them. And so I'm like, okay, so Wall of Fire is my best friend right now.
It's like, hey, you, stay back. Social distancing.
6 feet.
6 feet.
It's really fun, though, like, all the different spells and, like, especially the...
There's so
the
much random stuff you can do.
...history that they put into it. Like, some of the spells have names in them, like Tasha's Hideous Laughter. And there's, like, literal lore about the witch that created this spell. Like...
I also love the fact that I can cast flight on people by just like touching them.
Yep.
It's just like you fly. So I can make Finn just start floating out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I think that'd be really funny to see a robot just like,
yep. Go, my child.
Yes. Go, my murder drone.
Change the world. Bye,
bye. Don't.
I still really like how Alex basically circumvented flying. We rationalized that his bag of holding, as long as you have a little straw coming out the top, you can get inside and still breathe. And then he was like, okay, so then it doesn't weigh that much, so my mage hand can carry it around, right? And I'm like, okay, so you're effectively flying by just sitting in your bag.
Yeah. Just jumps inside of his backpack and just starts.
Yep, yep.
All I need to do is open this bag.
Yeah. What? Flies up 80 feet, and then the mage hand just ends. It's just.
Yeah, we joined D&D next year. One of the first things that happened in adulthood is you find a bag. It mysteriously sounds
no.
Windy.
I need to get myself into that bag.
If you open that bag,
I gotta open that bag.
You open that bag. I will call Zeus to strike you down right now.
Okay, now that sounds really fun and epic themed.
I really want to do like a Greek mythology.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Like, there's like a boss that's just Heracles.
It's just Zeus. We're fighting Zeus.
Zeus is the final boss.
Yeah, Zeus is the final boss.
We're playing Epic the Musical, but it's D&D.
It's just,
should make that.
No, the final boss is just a gauntlet of all the, it's literally just God Games.
That would actually be a really cool boss rush for a final boss.
It's just like, you just have to run a gauntlet of just a bunch of different gods. And it's just Poseidon shows up and just kills you all immediately. Like, you beat everybody, like you think you beat the campaign, and all of a sudden just Poseidon just causes a tsunami.
I made it home.
Yeah. That would be really cool though. Like that, like just the imagery of that. Like, imagine being like on top of Mount Olympus just fighting gods. That'd be awesome.
Can I introduce you to a hit game series known as Shin Megami Tensei?
No. Nope.
No, you cannot. This is D&D.
No, if you do not that, we're playing God said. Of War. If you want to make that reference, make it a God of War reference.
I like my games based on mythology and theology, but the second you bring your anime JRPGs into this.
Yes, correct. Very correct.
We love Greek mythology, but the second you start opening your mouth.
The second you make it 2D, no, get out.
3D or else. Unless it's Epic the Musical.
Yeah.
I'll let that slide.
Because the 3D Animax are kind of weird.
I'm blanking on the name of the title, but there's a book. It's like Mythic Theros or something like that, but is basically D&D, but sort of along the like Greek pantheon kind of lines.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the exact title, but something Theros.
I'm the one guy who likes Thanatos more than any other Greek god, so anytime he's in anything, I'm just like, yeah! So if he's in there.
How do you think I feel as a Hypnos fan?
We are literally the same breed, dude. They're siblings. They appear in all the same stories.
Thing is, like, Hypnos is one of the most like underrated gods, and like, he never shows up.
Exactly.
What y'all know about Trivia?
Nothing. You are the first time I've ever heard that name. So
I'm pretty
sure
he is the god of where three roads meet.
What?
That's it.
He's the god of intersections?
Yes.
That would make sense based on
the god of the highway.
Tri and Via. Yeah.
He is. The Greeks have gods for everything. That's why I love Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Like, you they see do that like flower over there. That flower has its own god.
That one flower
that
there.
Singular
that
flower.
One poppy.
Not like the not the species of flower.
Yeah.
Just that one.
Not the type of flower. Not like the color of the flower.
That
nope.
That flower is a god.
And the pot it's in also
that's
has a god.
Zeus in disguise.
Yeah.
Run.
It's Zeus in disguise. Run.
Run. Yeah.
And the pot it's in is Poseidon.
Why is the plant hitting on me? It's Zeus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful of Zeus in mythology.
Yeah.
Y'all follow the mythology guy too?
Who is that?
The mythology guy, the guy who makes all the skits and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know like who you're talking about.
I have a lot
of
like Greek mythology skits. You're gonna have to narrow it down.
There's a lot of people to do that.
Oh yeah. So actually, like, another question I've got is, you guys ever been interested in playing like other TTRPGs or anything like that?
I can't really like think of any other though. Like the first one that comes to mind is D&D, although Warhammer also comes to mind, but I kind of don't want to play Warhammer.
There's fair also Avatar.
Because I don't want to spend 7 hours painting one figurine.
Well,
true.
That's, you're no fun. Painting's awesome.
Avatar The Last Airbender has their own TTRPG, actually.
Zuko!
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. You can play in the different eras.
I love me my Zuko. Well, because my brother makes a lot of TTRPGs. So that's where D&D is the TTRPG I actually have the least experience with. Which is weird. I play test a lot of his games with I was the youngest of three. I have a little brother.
You're like conversational in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. So
it's like learning a language.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it pretty much is, but Dungeons and Dragons is pretty much learning a language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he
it's like the same thing with Yu-Gi-Oh. Like when I hear you and Jax playing Yu-Gi-Oh, I don't know what thing you're saying. I don't know anything you're saying.
So this trap card has spell speed. What is spell speed?
What is a trap card?
All right, so yeah, so I've played.
What is Haz?
Currently working on one that me and my girlfriend are trying to play test, which is like cowboys in space. So it's kind of like Cowboy Bebop.
I was gonna say that just sounds like Cowboy Bebop.
He's been told it's very close to. Okay. But yeah, so another one I remember playing, which actually leads in, which circles back to something we were talking about earlier. I basically played like a catboy who was essentially
already
like
not a good start.
A rogue slash bard ish sort of thing, and he had a like Darth Maul like a Damascus blade
double
sided. It was so cool, and I also like I constantly was like, "Hey Brisby, can I like invent X thing?" Like I wanted like a revolver wand spinner, because I used wands instead of magic because wands and magic were separate. So you could cast them without, like, spending any mana, but they would break over time. They had, like, durability. So I'd be like, can I just invent, like, a roulette spinner I can put on my arm that I could slot wands into and just, like, fire them? He was like, I mean, like, you can do that. And
you're like Spider-Man, but, like, from Texas.
Yeah. I was also D&D Texas. Can I like split my swords into two like smaller swords? He was like, you could invent that too. But
well, I mean, that just makes sense for a double sided blade for it to be able to turn into two separate blades. That would just make sense because otherwise it's a very situational weapon, and you would also need a very large room for that to work properly, and you'd need a very open space.
Yeah,
but it like if you're in a closed space, you can just like break them off into two like mini swords, like daggers almost, and then all of a sudden you have a really good weapon for close range.
Yeah, very versatile.
Yeah, I gotta ask, probably all of you, if you could create one dream D&D campaign, what would it be, and like, what would it be, why, and how would you orchestrate it? I guess we'll start with you.
I don't know.
Like your dream universe.
The whole cowboys in space got me thinking. I think I'd really love a Firefly themed D&D campaign. I'm a nerd for Firefly, so I think it would be really awesome to have a bunch of people on the Serenity going around being space pirates, essentially.
I love space pirates.
I love Metroid. I love space pirates.
It's like you go from like talking in a pirate language to just like speaking in like an ancient alien language. You'd be like, your heart.
Yeah.
There's like a language barrier between you and every single character.
For me, I definitely say I'd love like a... maybe not like a campaign universe, but like a campaign idea. I would love to do like a Phantom Thieves, like guild sort of campaign.
Like a series sort of campaign.
Campaigns
that ride on other campaigns.
Yeah. I want to be like the leader of a Phantom Thieves group in a campaign. That sounds awesome.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I kind of got into this a little earlier, but like a Greek mythology campaign specifically, like I think my best bet would be the Iliad and the Odyssey because those are like the two.
Well, yeah, you could literally take any one of the 600 men.
Yeah.
Like,
I called them Zen Odysseus. I'll take your Olympus. Have fun.
Cuts to Thunderbringer. Just,
it's all fun and games until someone chooses Poseidon.
It's all fun and games until someone opens the windbag.
That's still you.
Yeah. Well, it's all fun and games until someone gave his social security number to a Cyclops.
Okay,
that was your own fault.
He pancaked my friend.
You
still doxed yourself.
You gave your workplace, occupation, and social security number to a Cyclops.
I
without
know
knowing
his
what connections he had.
Yeah,
you should have tried to think daddy. About what connections this random Cyclops could have had.
I should have just killed him.
You should have, but you didn't because you wanted
to
be nice.
Should have listened to Athena.
Athena.
You should have, but you were trying to be nice, and being nice meant gouging his eyes out.
Yeah.
Somehow, how is that being nice?
Well, he's alive.
Barely.
He's still alive.
He also just got like bullied by the other Cyclops.
All right. Well, that's not my fault.
Just skill issue.
Yeah. It's his fault.
Yeah, it's also your fault that 500 something men died. Because you decided to take off Poseidon.
All right, so Epic the Musical conversation.
Yeah,
we're just getting a little off track.
Back to so like.
Oh, he's out of Greek mythology.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked about it before. SCP would be a really cool D&D campaign idea. I think another one that could be cool, and I think you're gonna know where what kind of vibe I'm going for this, but like a, like war between different like paths, well not paths but like afterlives. So, like Heaven and Hell. But then there's also one.
You said war, and I just thought Fire Emblem. Do you just want to do Fire Emblem?
No. But then, like, you also add in, like, Purgatory. Like maybe that's how the campaign starts. You start in Purgatory, but you manage to escape, cool. But you escape into like a like millennia long war,
like
depending on how good or bad you are, either go to heaven or hell.
Yeah, and then you witness the war going on as is.
Yeah.
So let me introduce you to this awesome game series called Shin Megami Tensei.
Oh my god! How many?
You're just like describing Shin Megami Tensei. And you're like, I will play it.
This is literally like name anything. This is like name anything, and there's probably an anime for it. This is like the whole Satan working at McDonald's.
Yes.
It's an actual anime, and I watched it, and it's kind of peak. But it's actually really good.
Like on the topic of like Greek mythology and all that, I feel like another good one could be like an Egyptian mythology one.
That would be awesome.
I would.
We're basically just making Assassin's Creed games at this point.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Now, Roman mythology.
That's the same thing as Greek mythology. You just change the name.
Yep.
The person who ran D&D Club before I took it over actually was basing the last few campaigns on Norse mythology.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Vikings would be really cool. That would be a really
Everyone's
cool
a barbarian.
Campaign.
My goal would be
Everyone's a barbarian. You can't play any other class.
My goal would be to take down Odin. If I were in that, I'd be like, oh, I gotta take down Odin. Yep.
Yeah, Norse theology, the Norse mythology has some really cool gods.
I wanna fight Thor and steal his hammer. That would be a sick weapon.
That would be. It's like the weight of a mansion. Like, you can barely lift it, but anytime you swing it, you just, like, cause an explosion.
You have to roll a strength check that has enough stat points to, like, get over, like, 40.
the DC is like an 18. If you manage to get that, you just one shot anything.
I feel like a good buff would be like if you're a paladin, you could lift the hammer.
Yeah,
and
worthy.
Yeah,
I would say also like depending on your faith though. I think like if you go paladin in like a campaign like that, you would probably have like they would probably give you choices.
Yeah,
of faiths, and like maybe there's like faiths towards certain gods. And maybe if you happen to go for Thor, then
faith
you can actually like
Thor,
pick up
and
his
then
hammer.
You kill him, and then you take his hammer.
That just
or he just actually
I don't think
a better
Mjolnir
idea.
Would like that.
I don't think Mjolnir would like
you
just, that.
He just gives you the hammer. That's probably a better.
Yeah,
around. Here you go, my
like,
son.
You can actually like wield it effectively, and it just works. Just like flies through these like flies through the sky and it becomes a meteor.
But what?
No. We just got away from Epic. Don't bring it back into the equation.
We just got away from Epic. WSRK.
Yeah, we just got away from it, and we were already bringing it back.
We can never escape.
Yeah, just like D&D. Everything eventually leads back to Epic, and everything eventually leads back to D&D.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
Can you connect D&D and Epic the Musical? It's like one of those crappy TikToks or YouTube videos.
Stupidest.
Yeah, it's like three things, and you're there.
Yeah,
that's very true. Eldritch Abominations, Cyclops, Epic.
Yeah.
Cyclops,
Eldritch Abomination, Cyclops, Polyphemus. There you go. Done.
Done.
Polyphemus, Jorge Rivera runs. Epic the Musical.
Yeah. Sirens.
There you go.
Boom.
Yeah.
Or
Sirens.
Cyclops.
Any god.
Giants. Hydra.
Yeah. Minotaurs.
I'll fight the giants.
Cerberus. No. Don't know.
I know life and
no!
death is scary.
No!
But I want to be legendary.
If this guy was in like our D&D campaign, you would say something like, "Oh, you find this legendary artifact," and be like, "It's a what artifact?
What artifact?
A what artifact?
What kind of artifact is it?"
Just all of a sudden, like really faintly in the background, you hear dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
just, like that's like your theme music. It just plays really faintly in the background. Anytime you hear like legendary or like little and wolf in the same sentence, or just wolf.
There is this little wolf over there in this pack of wolves.
And so like, yeah, it's a what
there's,
now?
There's this what?
And there's a this what?
What? There's a what? What?
Good lord. This is just devolved
we
into
are
just
horrible.
Epic. Yeah.
All right, back on track.
Yes.
D&D.
Yes, back to D&D.
Talk about D&D.
I was trying to, and then you brought back up the music.
Do it.
Okay, so I see you have a book here that people can't see it. Well,
yeah.
There's a camera here, so I don't know if we're going to use that.
Trust me, there's a book.
Yeah,
trust
you have this book here.
There's a book.
Can I just see this?
Yeah.
The Wild Beyond the Witchlight. What is this?
This is the campaign that we've been doing. Yes, this is what we're working on.
Yeah.
And we are roughly about
as you
here.
Can see by the comical amount of sticky notes.
Yes,
you've
too
been,
many sticky notes.
Yeah.
They've been tabbed up. But yeah, this is the book we're working with, but we're meeting today after school.
Yeah.
So had to have it with us. I believe Our next task is to go after the third witch sister. You took out number two. Number one is still kicking, and now
what did Hocus Pocus do to you guys?
Are you playing like Macbeth?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean,
in a way,
there's some stuff that they haven't figured out that is very Macbeth-like.
So you're just playing
so
Macbeth.
Someone's a traitor.
Can I play Hamlet?
Remember, like the three witches took over Prismere from somebody.
I don't even know if that's
true. Very Macbeth. We haven't quite got there.
So we're just playing Macbeth at this point. This is almost Macbeth there. The D&D campaign.
Almost there.
Weren't you guys okay? So on my gold weeks, are you guys like reading Macbeth?
Yes. Right
now in class?
Yeah.
I know this because I have the class.
I am also reading Macbeth.
I'm with this gardener, and I can hear you guys like acting the scenes out while I'm in the class.
Yeah, I'm like two rooms away in Mr. Hurley's room, and I can faintly hear it sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
yep.
funny.
Yeah.
Yep. End of the year is Macbeth for 10th graders.
I mean, that sounds kind of fun. I mean, like, for my ELA class, I'm, like, done. Like we did, like, I'm in the AP, so I'm done with the IWA. Mm. So I just get to cruise for the rest of
nice.
The year.
Yep,
nice.
Yep.
Lucky.
So if this isn't it, what is your favorite campaign to do? Or, like, if it's, I would say official campaign. I would say first official campaign and then unofficial campaign, like, your favorite one you've done.
I think... So, like official, you mean, like, books that are created by Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like official D&D campaigns that are, like, created for the game, not, like, customly created by other players.
Okay. So, I'd say Witchlight is definitely my favorite official one. It's just such a
so many moving parts
story, and, like, there's a lot that you can investigate that isn't super critical if you're trying to, like...
Yeah.
Railroad through the plot, basically, but there's tons of stuff that you can kind of tangent on.
Like
you know,
me randomly punching a stone wall.
You randomly punching a stone wall, you guys stealing
Didn't
the rain
anything.
Cloud balloon.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fun stuff in
because every camp, like, you can do
Carnival.
This 25 times, and you're never going to have the same
exactly,
campaign.
Exactly, and I actually have run this with my family. We're, with that campaign, we had to take a little break, so you guys are actually ahead of them. And, like, you guys took totally different...
Yeah.
Like, you guys went and killed the second one. That was the infamous burning down of Lurch.
Yeah. So basically, the second sister has, like, I don't know if we can really talk about what she has. Let's just say
she's a bad
unpaid
person.
Unpaid workers of very young age.
Stolen children.
Yes.
Unpaid workers.
Yeah. So yeah.
She deserved to
And
go.
They work in a giant tree. So we burned it to the ground.
Yep.
All I can think of is like Keebler elves. And
wait,
that's the first thing that came to mind.
Is it like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
I don't remember.
Honestly, the only thing
enough,
I
honestly.
The
I
only
saw
thing
it super
I
recently
that.
And I only saw the ending of it. That movie's creepy. It's weird. It's
honestly weird. The only thing I remember from that entire interaction was me just like running through the brick oven that we threw her
are
into.
Are you sure we're not are you sure you're not fighting Keebler elves? You're talking about ovens.
Is this Hansel and Gretel
living in a tree?
Actually,
I think this is Hansel and Gretel.
So a lot of the inspiration for Wild Beyond the Witchlight, nearest I can tell, is fairy tales. So like Scamandra, the second.
Do they got my goat Pinocchio?
It's no Pinocchio.
No.
Well,
and we have Clapperclaw.
Actually, Endelin though is all into puppets, so kind of.
Can I plug Lies of P here? Can I plug Lies of P
no.
here?
Oh,
everyone
God,
should
no,
play that game.
No,
that game's
no.
really good.
Stop it. No. No,
a lot of fairy tale inspiration in Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Yeah, the only thing I remember from that was I was distracting a bunch of guards. I just ran out. I ran out of the building, and I remember one of them was running up to me, so I just suplexed one.
Yep,
I remember
yep.
that. I just judo threw one behind my back, ran back in. They're like you guys had already taken care of. What was her name again?
Scamantha.
Yeah, Scamantha. We already taken care of her. I was like, can I do something funny? And you're like, okay. And I was like, can I just like run through the oven like acting like I'm gonna help? Because it was like a clay or like brick oven. Mm-hmm. And I was a barbarian. So like I'm just mindless. So I just ran through it. I just ran through the oven. It's like, hey guys, I'm here.
What are you, Leon suplexing your enemies?
Are you the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
After I suplex a skeleton.
Oh, wait, hold on. It was mildly off topic, but I have a really funny story about D&D. So, like, when I was trying to, like, playtest for my brother's game, I tried to get more people than just me and my girlfriend, so we got one of our friends. And I don't think she understood that there was a different TTRPG. She thought it was just D&D. So the first thing she sent me for her character was a written character sheet of her statting out Poe the Dragon Warrior
Oh, God.
To play in D&D.
Oh, dear God, no. That's it. We're making a D&D campaign, but everyone is Jack Black. Someone's Steve. Someone's Poe.
I call dibs on Steve.
He is Steve.
I am Steve.
Oh, God.
No,
we've infected up on Taconic with I am Steve. Oh, no. I've made a grave mistake by making a joke about Jack Black. Oh, no. All right, that's it. Next guest on up on Taconic, Jack Black. That would be awesome. That would be amazing. I would love to do that.
First question that you would gotta be ask so him, though, cool. Are you actually Dionysus in disguise?
So, Mr. Jack Black, are you Steve?
Are you Steve?
Are you, in fact,
celebrities
Steve?
As gods in disguise.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda as Hermes, you cannot change my mind.
Yeah.
That works.
You've never... Tell me you have seen Lin-Manuel Miranda and Hermes in the same room. Exactly.
I haven't.
Exactly.
I have not.
Leonardo DiCaprio is a Zeus. Don't look too deep.
But also
that.
Tell me, have you ever seen Alexander Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda in the same room?
Crap.
Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton is Hermes, confirmed.
Alexander Hamilton is Hermes.
Instead of the god of speed, he's just like the god of cash.
God of
what?
What?
Thank you, Dong.
It's like we call him like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
I choose you, Dalton. Use what?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Critical hit.
Say the line, Bart.
Yeah. Say the line, Bart. What? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's it. That's just all it is. All
right. Yeah. But yeah. So, any other questions you got here?
I don't think so.
You seem to be a thinker today.
Well, yeah. It's D&D. It's something I've grown to love over the past year or so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stay in this for as long as I can, and hopefully it's until senior year because I absolutely love D&D. I hope to keep playing D&D even after high school, because I absolutely love the idea of D&D. I love how it plays. I love, like, playing with other people that also enjoy the game, seeing how different people interact, the chemistry between players and their characters, like, the way the DM sets up the campaign, which, by the way, you are an amazing DM.
Thank you.
I gotta say that, like... The way that we played this campaign is so goofy, but also like we still get the story stuff done, but we're such goofballs.
Mm-hmm.
We're chaotic, like, it's silly. So yeah.
Yep.
But it's like chaotic fun. Good.
Chaotic goofy.
Yeah.
That's the fun though.
Yeah. It's about I wouldn't say half. I'd say like 90% of the fun is just being it's just goofing off.
I'm a true chaotic neutral, so when I join next year, expect a little bit of evilness.
Yeah.
Behind every game is a slightly evil
game. You're gonna like put fire ants in someone's pants, but that's it. That's it. Then you're like, you'll give them a flower, but there's gonna be like a bee on the flower.
Yeah, you'll like give them a rose, and then there'll be like seven bees hiding in the flower ready to like sting them.
You're gonna give them an entire colony of bees. And then you're going to throw a beehive at them.
Also expect incredibly theatrical performances. I'm just going to be like, I'm just like standing on top of a balcony. I'm just like, hello, everyone.
Long live the king.
All you need to know about me is my name. And that is Vlad. Anyway, here's the bees. At least the bees.
Oh, my Lord. This was chaos.
Everyone just gets like, yeah.
Well, that's D&D for you.
Yeah, that's D&D.
Yep.
That sum up D&D in three words. This is chaos.
Pure chaos.
No, uh-huh. Don't, no.
No.
No,
no,
don't you start, no, 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 no.
Get that look off your face, Avery. Get that look off your face. Don't do it.
Good Lord. I think this has already gone too far.
Yeah. All right, are there any other questions before we wrap this up?
I don't think so, no, unless there's anything you want to say before. Maybe plug the club. Just a little shameless plug.
Everybody play D&D, whether it's coming to a D&D club, whether it's starting up a game. There's so many resources out there. Like, you can have so much fun.
Online, in person.
Exactly.
There's so much you can do.
Exactly. It's a great way to connect with people. If you're like, well, I don't want to just sit on the phone with someone. Yeah, play D&D with them for an hour. You'll be connected. You'll be having fun.
You'll either be connected or hate
with
each other.
Story. Yes.
Or both. Or each other. It could be both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
If they play a murder hobo, you block them for life.
Yep. If they play a bard, you're getting blocked. If you lay a bard, you're getting blocked.
No,
D&D club, I think it's every non-half-day Friday.
Every non-half-day Friday,
that at least the DM can make it.
Yes.
That whenever you're not busy,
yes.
And you don't have a busy Friday.
Yep.
So I think we've three more Fridays and I think two more Tuesdays? Or one more Tuesday?
I believe, yes. One more Tuesday and three more Fridays.
Including today, yes.
Yes.
I'm going to see if I can join next week, even if there's only like three things left.
Yeah. I mean, it'll get you reintroduced back to it.
Yeah.
I think it's what, 2:30 to 3:30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little rusty.
So. I'm going to be able to stat out my character by myself if I could join next week.
Yeah, okay, every Friday, 2:30 to 3:30. If anybody listening is like goes to Deconic, I would advise. It's a lot of fun.
You can, I would say you show up to the D&D club. Come and observe if you're interested but not ready to play.
Yeah, there's no, there's not like a full commitment to this. Like Tyrell, he would show up, he would observe.
Exactly. Yeah. Show up, bring popcorn, watch the chaos.
Yeah.
There was
D&D. Watch us horrifically gesticulate. There was D&D for like 2 hours. For an hour.
To show like how you don't need to exactly be like a big player in it. There was a D&D campaign that was hosted at one of my old schools, and I literally just played a voice inside my friend's head that told them to do bad things.
So you're just chuckles.
You're playing Conchu.
Yeah. Or Conchu.
Yeah. That's all I did.
We have the same feed.
So yeah.
We have the same feed.
Yep.
You can just go in, you can observe, it's fun. I recommend D&D to anyone who wants to also just like hang out with friends. I recommend any tabletop game in general to people who just want to.
If you want to beat people up but don't want to get arrested for it and you play also D&D. Like fantasy, play D&D.
Yeah, vent your frustrations on the Cyclops. That is a joke.
Beat up the
Cyclops.
Not your friends.
Don't get him started on the Cyclops.
Blind the Cyclops and don't not blinding leak your social security address. Trust me.
That's a good idea. That's the main takeaway from
this
podcast.
Listen to the god in your head.
Yeah.
Don't do what I did.
Does that mean Odysseus is just Moon Knight?
Maybe.
All right.
I think, yeah.
I would like to thank Aiden, Avery, and Miss Clegg for joining us and taking time out of their busy day to talk about the program. I would like to thank our listeners on WTBR, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions for us, feel free to email us at taconictv@pittsfield.net. We hope you'll join us next time for Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and this week featured Aiden Avery and Mrs. Clint. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in May of 2025.